Last week, we started looking at the currency of heaven, and we've said the currency of heaven is God is love. All have sinned and fall short of God's glory, and we are saved by grace and not works. And today, we want to look at this topic of how we separate what we believe from how we practice in relationship to sin. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you would take this message that you've laid on my heart, that I've written about, and added it. Anything you don't want said, shut my mouth on it. And Lord, I pray that my ears and all of our ears would be open to hear you, to see you, and to respond in faith to what you are teaching us this morning. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. We believe that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's a given. Every single one of us in this room would agree with that and teach that. Our problem is we believe it, but we don't practice it. It doesn't change how we act. Let me share a few ways in which I know that in my life that has happened. One of the things that I did from the very beginning of becoming a believer was I made a list of the worst sins and the least sins. You know, there are some things that are really bad. Like, if I murder somebody, that's a worse sin than if I tell a white lie. It's worse if I show prejudice towards people. Like, I have brothers and sisters who live in Vancouver who have no problem showing prejudice towards people of the Sikh religion. Because of what they wear on their head, they call them names. That is sin. And I would put that way up there. Because last week we saw that God is love. And anytime we exclude anybody from God's love, we limit God's love. And we tell the world that our God is not a loving God. Well, our problem is we have said, okay, that's a really bad sin. But paying for work done on my house under the table without paying GST and PST, well, that's a smaller sin. Right? Getting a divorce may be a sin that you rank very high. Someone else may rank divorce very low. And so we have this tendency to have a hierarchy of sins. And then we have a tendency not to confess the lower sins in our hierarchy. We may sin by gossiping. We may sin by becoming a person who overeats, gluttony. We may sin because we have a minor addiction. For years, I didn't realize how addicted I was to exercise. And I realized that as God worked in my life, that my addiction to exercise was no different than my father's addiction to alcohol or to somebody's addiction to gambling. And yet I thought I was better than the gambler. I thought I was not as bad as a person who had an addiction to pornography. And while I did that, what I was doing was hardening my heart and not allowing the Holy Spirit to work in my life. You see, every church, every group and community of faith is going through tough times. We're going through times where there is disunity in the body. We see it right across the world. And I believe that it starts on this issue. It starts where we change the meaning that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Because what we've done is we've said, my little sin is not as bad as somebody else's sin. Therefore, I am better than that person. Therefore, I have better understanding of what sin is in your life. And the thing that I recognized is when I denied the sin in my life, when I wrote it off as minor, I became an expert at the sin in everybody else's life. I mean, I could look at your life and I could tell you how to fix it in 5 minutes if you just do what I tell you to do. And God has been dealing with me on that issue since the time I was 11 years old and asked Christ into my life. The very first thing I did was to realize I wasn't as bad a sinner as somebody else. And that was just right from the pit of hell. You see, Satan doesn't get us to destroy the church and the witness of Christ by making us do bad things on a big scale. He does it by getting us to harden our heart over little issues, over the little things, like the lack of saying, I am sorry that I am wrong, that I made a mistake, I was out of line. You know, I got 3 grandsons. They were all born the same way. They came out, and within the time they learned to speak, the one thing that they could all say is, not me. Did you take those cookies? Not me. Did you spill that milk? Not me. And that's what we do. I'm doing it all the time. And the more I do it, the harder my heart gets, the harder my heart gets, the more critical I am of you, the more critical I am of you, the less I respond to God's word. And I communicate to the world around me that God is not a God of love, but a God of judgment, a God who punishes sin, a God who cares more about me, how I do things and how I walk and what I say, that it better be the right way and I better wear the right clothes and I better do everything to the rules than to be broken by my sin. Bonhoeffer was in Germany during the rise of the Nazis, and at first he supported the Nazis. The whole Lutheran church did. But then the Holy Spirit convicted him. And he led a group called the Confessing Church. And the Confessing Church got down and admitted that they were wrong, that they put Hitler before God, and they were sinners. And they became known as this Confessing Church, and many of them went to the concentration camps. And Bonhoeffer died there. You see, I don't see anybody confess in the church anymore. When's the last time somebody confessed that they were sinners? When's the last time that somebody said, you know, I was really mean to Mary. I said some terribly unkind things to her. And the Holy Spirit has spoken to me, and I want Mary to know that I was wrong, and I want Mary to forgive me because God has broken me. No, we don't do that. We ignore it. You see, we make this levels of sin, we excuse ourselves in those sin, and then we take it a step further. We say, well, I love that person. That's my son, my daughter, my wife, my husband, my grandpa, my grandfather. And we reinterpret sin in terms of the relationships we have with people. You know, we say that our son, who has an addiction to marijuana, that, you know, that's really not sin. We make excuses. It's sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I am a sinner. I need His grace. My problem becomes that sin now makes me hard. Hard towards you, hard towards my family, hard towards the world. So let's define this sin. What is sin? It's anything less than perfection. It is replacing God with anything else. That's the definition of idolatry. We are an idolatrous people, every single one of us in this room, and myself included. And the person that I put before God almost every single time is me. I get on the throne of my life. I say, God, no. You can't do that because I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to forgive my father who beat me. I don't want you to forgive the rapist. I don't want you to forgive the murderer. I don't want you to forgive Hitler because of all the terrible things he did. And who's in control? Me. And so we have these layers of hardness that we've developed over the years, and now we can't even see when we get on the throne of the life, and we kick God to the side, and we make him secondary to the whole issue. Because our hearts are so hard. We have spiritual leprosy in the church. It's rampant. Do you know what leprosy is? Leprosy is the inability to feel. A leper can stick his hand in a fire because he can't feel anything. Dr. Brandt, who was a pioneer with lepers, could do surgery on people's hands, their feet, without ever giving them anesthesia. Because he didn't feel anything. There was no need for it. The nerve endings were dead. And I believe today that in the Church of Jesus Christ, we are spiritual lepers. We no longer feel the Holy Spirit except when we want to, and we manipulate it to get our point, our needs, our desires across. We want control of the church. And so we say the Holy Spirit has led us. We want to be in power. We say the Spirit has led us. You're only fooling yourself. Satan has got you exactly where he wants you. You're ruining the witness of the body of Christ. I do it all the time. And I ruin his witness. And I am wrong. And I need to confess, and I need to have a brokenness about me. That I am capable of everything. You see, the Bible tells me that Hitler's sin is no different than my little white lie. That in God's eyes, Hitler and 6 million Jews that he killed is absolutely as bad as me telling a white lie. Some of you are going to have trouble with that. But that's what the Scripture says. Anything less than perfection is sin. Anytime I make the decision of what sin is, I am in control and I take God's place. And that hardens my heart. And when I harden my heart, I don't know God, I know me. I know me, and I impose what I believe on you. You know, one of the sure ways in which you can tell that somebody is really relying on God is love. I am a sinner, and that I'm saved by grace, is they are a person you love to be around because they never make you feel guilty. Do you know people like that? Who you just love to be with them because they accept you where you are. They are not pretense. They're not better than you. They're not more perfect than you. They simply are people who have said, I'm a sinner, saved by grace. I have no right to judge anyone. And I know that my God loves me so much that he sent his son to die for my sin. And he did for yours as well. I have to relearn this every day. I think I get it, and then I realize that I don't get it. I have found some new ingenious way of getting back on the throne, of somehow saying that I'm not as bad as that person over there. My church is not as bad as that church over there. I am somehow better than my neighbor. I've had people say to me over the years, if I went to church, the building would fall down. You know who made him feel that way? I did. You did. All of us as Christians do that. When we give this R out there that we are better than they are. And then we wonder why we fight with each other. We wonder why we argue with each other. Because somehow I know the truth and you don't. I know how to handle that money. You don't. Sit down and listen to me. How else can we explain somebody who gets their feelings hurt because somebody didn't speak to them on the way out of the building? That's because sin is hard in your heart and you become the focus of the world. That's what we need to confess. We need to confess and be broken and repent on a daily basis that we're capable of that very thing. So how do we react to the world, to the word that says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God? Some of us, very few, I've met very few people who do this, will say, Jesus took my sins to the cross, now I can do as I please. That does not happen very often. There are some people who may do that. I have been fortunate enough never to meet one of them. But before I judge them, I have to realize that I'm a sinner just like they are. And that God's love and grace is great enough to save them, even if they never change. That's radical. I want to fix people. I want to make you into good Christians. I want to make you into nice people. The gospel isn't interested in good Christians or nice people. The gospel is interested in sinners. Jesus said, I didn't come to save the found. I came to save the lost. If you don't believe you're lost, you don't need Jesus. The second thing is, and this is the most common thing that we face, is that Christians try and try and try to rid themselves of sin and become frustrated with a vicious circle of guilt, and then they give up. One of the sins that I confess and repent of daily as I look back at my 40-plus years of ministry is that I preach works instead of grace. If I could go back and do it again, I would preach grace and God's love every single Sunday. And I made a commitment to God that the rest of my life, which may end this week, whenever God gives me an opportunity to speak, I will preach only about His grace and His love. You can't get it right. You can't try hard enough. You can't be nice enough. You can't be good enough. I can't. I cannot do it. I am a sinner who constantly wants to kick God to the side so that I can rule my world. And the amazing thing is, He still loves me. He still says, Don, I love you. I sent my son for you. He died for you. And then there's a third way. The third way is the way of Christ. That way is to accept the radical nature of God's love. That way is to know that I am a sinner and fall short of His glory, and that I need His grace. I said this is the currency of heaven. You take any bill, it has two sides. This one has a picture of, I don't know, some past prime minister on the front. And on the back, it has a train. How much is this? $10. How much is this? $10. Doesn't matter which way I turn it, it's still $10. It's written on paper. The currency of heaven is written on the sin of mankind. He sent his son, this passage says, to die on the cross, that whoever puts their faith in God's sacrificial gift of Jesus Christ will know him. And his grace is sufficient for me. I tell you, this currency is priceless. When we're talking about God's grace, when we're talking about his love, when I'm talking about my own sin, the more I admit that I'm a sinner, the more I depend on his grace, the more I depend on his grace, the more I realize I'm loved by him, the more I experience his love, the more I know about him, the humbler I become. And yet that's exactly the opposite thing that we see in the church today. We see people who have all kinds of head knowledge about God and are nothing but judgmental. They are nothing but, I'm right, the rest of the world is wrong. And we have to come to the place where we accept that my sin, whether it's tiny or huge, eliminates me from God's kingdom. And I can never get there. I can never do enough. I can never give enough. I can never serve enough. I can never be good enough. I can never get rid of the bad things in my life to be able to earn his love and his grace. It comes to me because I am absolutely, without a question, lost. Examine your life today. Do you have spiritual leprosy? Have you forgotten you're a sinner? Have you allowed ignoring the little sins in your life to create such a hardness in your heart that you can't see the sin that is destroying you, your families, and this body of Christ? It starts with you. It starts with me. I'd rather experience his love and his grace than the praise of man. Let's pray.